Welcome to part two of a very special episode of Storybreakers. My name is Chris Brennan, and today we're giving you exclusive access to our Dublin Comic-Con live reading of J.J. Abrams' 2003 Superman flyby script. If you haven't heard part one, then hop over to the episode before this, and then come back. You can find a full cast breakdown in episode one, and it's also in the description box. And stick around afterward as I give a mini script review of J.J. Abrams' long-lost blockbuster. But enough from me. Let's get on with the show.
Hellman Observatory. Luther's eyes remain glued to the television.
Is it me or is it done?
It's done to me.
Yeah,
done to that done.
What do you want to do about Lane?
Nothing. I'm looking at done to that done. Luther grabs the phone.
Forget Lane. It's not right. I want. Yes, I saw the TV. Yeah, I have one in my. Yes, it's. Yes. I want to schedule a press conference right away.
Clark's apartment. Thanks for Clarkman. Superman. He locks his doors. Overcome and out of breath, amazed at what has just happened. He sees himself in the mirror in full regalia. He takes in the vision. For the first time, he really checks himself out as Superman. And my God, does he look awesome. And Clark just totally owns being Superman. He poses, he digs it, we dig it, we all dig, everybody digs. And then, just then, the phone rings. Answers, he's feigning calm.
Hello?
Clark?
Oh, hi, Mom. Hey, did you see me on the news?
Yes, I did.
Can you believe that was me? I know you always said don't do it. Don't show anyone, it's dangerous, so don't be mad. But that was me. That was me!
Sweetheart?
I didn't know if I could even do it. I mean, fly, it's been so long.
Your father, honey, he's passed away.
Everything stops for Clark. The awful world's landing, a sudden, heartbreaking moment. Clark simply can't speak, and tears well in his eyes. Jonathan Kent's small funeral service. A handful of mourners. Martha leans against her tall son. Clark shelters her in his strong arms. In the bedroom, Clark stands at his father's dresser, staring bittersweet at the framed photos of his family. Golden light coming in through the window. After a beat, quietly.
Are you hungry?
He turns. Martha's in the doorway, wistful.
No thanks, Mom.
Martha moves behind him. Holds an old framed photo of her with Jonathan, in fact.
This was our first date.
I know.
The beat. Clark then watches his mother. She opens the small wooden box on Jonathan's dresser. His two watches are here, cufflinks, only ever used once. A few half dollars and an old pipe.
It's strange, isn't it? The things we keep, what we leave behind.
She then notices a small string tie, burgundy pouch inside the box. She takes it, opens it, pours the contents into her hand. Five odd-shaped, coin-sized silver pieces.
What's that?
Martha looks at them, trying to remember, and then...
These were a gift. It's 30 years ago already. A man, his truck broke down near the farm. He came to the door. Need help, place to stay. He gave us these as a thank you. He said they were, that were where he was from, that they were considered good luck. Then Dad reminded him that his truck had broken down.
Clark watches her for a minute, then brings up the horrible thing that's been on his mind.
It happened in the field. Why was Dad running in? He had his radio, didn't he? It was because of me. I'm never doing that again, putting on that damn suit.
I will not let you blame yourself for this. I just won't have it. Your father was proud of you. And you should eat something.
In the kitchen. Only 30 minutes have passed and the mood has shifted. Good. A relatively lighter moment as Clark sits at the table, absentmindedly shifting the silver pieces around the placemat. Martha cooks a grilled cheese.
So, you still haven't told me what it was like saving that airplane.
Sliding the pieces around, he's already thinking about Lois. We can sickly see it.
He loves her.
It was unusual. It was a woman on the plane. I wanted to make sure she was okay, so afterwards I walked up to her, you know, just to check. The way she looked at me. No girl's ever looked at me like that. It was like she saw me.
Did you ask her out?
I was wearing a cape.
True. Still, any girl worth your time won't care about what you're wearing.
Well, that's sweet, but...
Or what job you have, or how much money. What she'll care about is who you are.
Clark, unsettled, goes back to the pieces. Considering this very issue, he doesn't really know who he is, or who he's supposed to be. As he slides the pieces around, he suddenly stops, his eyes wide. The five silver pieces set on the corner of the placemat are the negative space that make up the S on Superman's suit. Clark's blood now runs cold, quietly.
No.
Martha, sandwich on plate, moves to Clark. She sees the S on the table and freezes. Drops the plate, it shatters. Poor sandwich. In the living room, a photo album cracks open. Martha searches through it. Clark sits beside her.
I remember the three of us stayed up talking almost all night. He kept asking us questions. He was so curious.
And there it is. Martha finds a photograph of herself with Jonathan and Jor-El, who wears simple American clothes, sitting at the Kent kitchen table. Clark stares at it. Somehow, this man is familiar.
What does this mean?
Clark's mind tumbles. Martha grows overcome with emotion and turns to Clark, saying immediately guiltily,
"Sweetheart, your father and I always said that you were here because you were the answer to our prayers. But we both always knew it had to be so much more than that. We just didn't know why. Nothing scared us more than the idea that someone would find out that you'd be taken away from us. That's why we tried so hard, to make you seem normal. Now I think maybe that was a mistake."
"Mom, you didn't make any mistakes."
What I'm trying to say is, Clark, maybe normal was the last thing you were supposed to be. Maybe you're the answer to everyone's prayers."
Clark, in his bedroom, now a full-grown man, sits on the edge of his childhood bed, holding the Superman suit, staring at it in a moment of truth. Kent Farm, a wheat field. Standing in the middle of the Kent wheat field is Superman. The image is classic, beautiful, epic. But the meaning is what is important. Here he stands, in the place where he grew up, where he ran as a child, lost and confused. But now, he knows. Superman looks out onto the crimson horizon. Then he closes his eyes, listening to the world's cries for help. Distant screams, desperate pleas, and we're tight on Superman. His emotions rising. It's almost overpowering, but when your choices are unlimited, you have to make a choice. Gunfire and screams, and then explosion sounds. He snaps his head towards the source and takes off. He may not be able to save everyone, but that doesn't mean he's not going to try.
He is Superman, after all.
The Daily Planet. Lois energetically, passionately, and rapidly reads her piece aloud to Perry, who sits at his desk.
And 48 hours after the astonishing rescue of Air Force One, while a seeming infinite number of questions remain, we are left with a new, definitive answer to a most profound question. Is there hope for this world? Suddenly, amazingly, resoundingly, yes.
Lois looks to Perry, nervous and hopeful, waiting for his reaction. Perry stares at her. This unnerves Lois.
You're young, which is...
You don't like it.
Yeah, well, I'm saying you're young, which is annoying. You're too enthusiastic, idealistic, reckless, but I was the one who assigned you that flight, and well, you're a talented kid. I would have missed you.
Mr. White, I don't know what to...
You tell anyone that I said that, I'll deny it, and you'll be looking for a new job.
I won't say a word.
Change the second inconceivable to inconceivable, you know what I mean, to unimaginable, and lose the fifth paragraph. You can't assume what it's like to fly. Have you ever been flying with him? Come on. Now, this is the great ride class, and stop smiling.
Yes, sir.
Jimmy rushes in.
He's back!
Who?
Your fashion challenge boyfriend?
Jimmy runs off. Lois, then Perry follow too.
Everyone gathers to watch the TV monitors, which display international news broadcasts.
Had disappeared for 2 days, but the so-called Superman has re-emerged, this time in London, where a jewel heist was underway. Excuse me, we have breaking news that the Superman was spotted again, this time in Innsbruck, Austria.
Lois and the others react in amazement. Even the anchorwoman stops for a moment, not believing what she's hearing. But she says it anyways.
Where he apparently reversed a massive avalanche, and I'm quoting a witness, taking a deep breath and blowing the snow back up the mountain.
Daily Planet rushed through the office with Jimmy, who carries a coffee mug.
It's a madhouse. There's reporters on the phone, watching TVs, on computers, call out to each other, trying to keep up with a superhero that's darting all over the planet.
He was in Honduras. Do you have the report from Hong Kong? I've got it. Eyewitness. He's in Egypt. The caller's on line 3.
And Jimmy passes Lois's desk. She's on the phone, typing while conducting an urgent Superman witness interview in French.
Off on thing.
She hands Jimmy her old coffee mug as he hands her a new one. She waves and thanks Jimmy as Jimmy continues, passing Clark Kent, who's just entered, slightly out of breath.
Hey, you're back. Can you believe this guy?
Who?
Who? Let me think. Superman? Maybe you should watch the news, where, you know, the news you're supposed to be reporting on. That was me.
How's Mom?
She'll be alright, thanks. Glad you're back.
Jimmy hurries off. Clark just takes a moment, looks around the office. People move, motivated, reporting on Superman's incredible good works. He smiles at the energy of the place, at his most remarkable secret. That's when something catches his attention. At the banks of the TV monitors, international broadcasts filling most of the screens, one screen carries a replay of the Lex Luthor press conference. Clark walks towards the monitor as Luthor addresses the camera.
I want to thank the members of the press. I'm using you today as a conduit to send a simple message to this visitor, this Superman. I've come into possession of some crucial information for you. Hello.
Tight on Clark as he hears this, as he gets a chill down his spine, as if hearing the name sparks something in Clark that he can't possibly understand. Confused, concerned, he glances back at Lois for a moment, who's busy, still on the phone. He looks back at the TV.
Superman, if you can hear this, my name is Lex Luthor. Come see me as soon as possible.
Lex Luthor's LexCorp office. Luthor has just hit the remote. His TVs all turn off. He stands there, pensive, and then notices something odd. On the black TV screen, he still sees Superman, quickly realizing it's a reflection. Luthor spins around. Superman stands on his balcony. Luthor stares for a moment, amazed, then moves for the door. Superman and Lex face each other for the very first time. Hiding whatever his agenda is, Luthor smiles.
You're fast! Lex Luthor!
Huh? You used a word on TV. You said Kal-El. What does that mean?
What does it mean? You don't know. Let me get you a drink.
No, thank you.
At his bar, Luther pours a scotch.
Considering what I'm about to say, you're gonna need one.
I said no. Luther drinks. I asked you a question.
Luther drinks the whole glass. It's nice.
Ooh, yummy. One evening, 3 decades ago, I had an encounter. I was enlightened. I learned quite a bit that night, including the possibility that an alien being was living here, among us, on Earth. A unique child named Kal-El. That's you, Kal. We're like twins, you and I. I knew it the instant I learned about you. Both cast away as infants, rejected by the societies into which we were born. Lost souls! That night, I was also made aware of advanced science. Technology no human could ever conceive. So I used that knowledge, that innovation, to find you. Listening to the world for any hint that you might exist. Kal, you're the reason LexCorp exists at all.
You've been looking for me for nearly 30 years.
Yes, so we could finally come together as the architects that saved this planet.
Really?
Luther, happier than ever, moves to a wall, swings away a large painting, a German artist, to reveal a considerable small wall safe. He begins working the dial.
I'm proudest of this achievement, because this was mine, my own thought. This isn't something I was just given that night.
A book.
Luther stops. He realizes Superman has just looked into his safe before he's opened it.
Impressive.
I call it my manifesto.
Clang! Luther opens the safe and pulls out a large-scale hardback book. Slam! Luther puts it on the desk. Superman moves to it, cracking it open, begins looking at the typeset pages, and as he does...
Through the years, my theories have been proven right, time and again. I know I have the vision to pull this off. The intellect. You have everything else.
Superman eyes narrows, flipping through the pages of the book. Maps, areas of the Earth are crossed out, new borders being drawn.
You want these countries destroyed.
Well, you can't say it like that. I want to preserve the Earth. Give a structure, an order.
By eliminating entire cultures.
Yeah, well, yes, some people will have to go. And while that might sound radical, Kal, read my manifesto!
Superman has no fast grabbed Luther by the collar, pulling him close, lifting him effortlessly off the ground.
People say you're a deceitful, immoral, scheming, unethical jackass.
Now hold on a second, jackass!
But it's even worse than that, you're insane.
Superman shove drops Luther, who falls and slides back on the floor.
I've got to make sure you're put away.
With that, Superman suddenly flies off out the open balcony door. Luther is quickly to his feet, moving to the balcony and yelling,
Hey, a little advice! You don't want me for an enemy! People are looking for you, Kal! And trust me, you don't want them to find you!
The observatory, Luther bursts in. He moves fast to the Kryptonian pod, opens the ship's damaged hatch, and climbs inside. He begins to operate the pod controls he learned about at the hand of the dying Kryptonian, his face illuminated by the colorful instruments. A final key combination and the observatory lights brown out as an unearthly beeping begins. This is a beacon. It's working. Luther has called Superman's true enemy. At the Daily Planet, Clark hurries through the busy office to Lois's desk. Jimmy is there on the phone.
I don't think Miss Lane's going to be available to be on your little show, but I'll tell her you requested her, thank you. Since Superman blew off the press,
everyone wants an interview with little Miss Lane.
Where is she? Even you, apparently. Miss Lane's unavailable.
Jimmy, please. She's over at the foreign desk.
And with that, Clark is gone.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Lois is at her desk, looking over the page layout on a computer when Clark arrives.
Lois, you've got a minute?
Sure.
And he takes her back over to a corner of the office. Activity in the background, but here, they're safe from the office traffic.
It's about Luther. I've been reading up on him, doing a little digging myself. I think he's actually pretty dangerous, and that maybe you should stay away from him.
What are you talking about? Hey, did you see his press conference asking Superman to come hang out? Can you stand this guy's nerve?
I need to tell you something. Something important. Something you might not... that you won't even believe, actually.
Okay.
Clark tries to talk, but it's a real bitch telling someone that you are, in actuality, a superhero.
And,
I've never said this to anyone before.
It takes a beat, but she gets it.
Oh my God, Clark.
What?
Listen. I could tell.
You could tell?
Yeah, when you told me the other night that we'd met before, I could see that you... Clark, you seem like a really sweet guy, but I'm not dating anymore. I can't. I'm no good in relationships anyway. I fall for the wrong guys, it's just a really stupid pattern.
Uh-huh.
And this isn't an excuse, this is for real. I mean, classic me. The first guy I really feel something for, right? And maybe forever, is probably not even human, so there you go.
Superman?
Sure, I know it's a cliche. Don't even... Oh, of course, I fall for the guy who, you know, flies, right? You don't want anything to do with me, and look at you. For any other girl, you're a catch. A little stiff, a little, you know, but really cute. Just, if you can loosen up a little. I mean, what do you do with your hair? What is that?
I don't really...
Yeah, and you should think about laser surgery, because I think you're... You know, you without glasses would be much...
She holds his glasses, about to pull them off, Wayne.
Wayne!
Lois turns away just as she removes his glasses, but he grabs them and puts them on as she turns back, stressed.
Clark, I'm sorry, my store's late.
The conversation was enough to change his mind. He won't be telling Lois the truth, at least not yet.
That's okay, I understand.
I'm flattered, though.
Lois, he called for you. Superman.
Is this you being mean?
No, he called. At least he said it was him. He wants to meet you on the roof. Tonight. 8:00.
Are you... Superman called for me?
Yeah.
8:00. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Excellent. Thanks. 8:00. Good.
And she heads off. Clark watches her go. Suddenly, the lights in the office brown out. Clark looks up. That was odd. And with a sigh, he heads off. Candor War Room. Busy, holograms and activity. And we come to Tysor, who sits with half a dozen elder generals, including General Lon, 60. Tysor's certainly holding his own here. Feared and resented by his company, Tysor, simply put, is the arrogant son of a beasting.
General Lon, you gave my father your word.
With all respect, sir. It's not as if we went already overworking the laborers.
Without repair, Krypton will fall out of orbit. Some say within a year's time. You've seen the rise in the oceans yourself. The winters we've had. I'm going to continue until you...
Well, perhaps if Mena had not been...
The frustrated general stopped himself. He realizes what he's saying, and to whom. Tysor staring at him, daring him to finish that sentence. Then, some at the table stand as Kadazor enters. Tysor, however, remains seated. Kadazor moves towards him.
A word with you. We received a transmission. We've located Kal-El. He's on a planet in the Pirena Ring.
Tysor takes this in, shocked. Kadazor, meanwhile, is shaken by the news, as if his faith, or lack thereof, is threatened.
You know what they would say? The slaves? They believe in him.
Yes! Their beliefs, however, are of no concern to us.
Perhaps they should be. Why take the risk? You know as well as I, we can't afford to. Send me. I will go alone, and I will return. In that regard, the prophecy will be proven accurate.
Then go. Kill him, and destroy the place that gave him safe haven.
The deadly planet. A chilly breeze blows Lois's hair as she waits for Superman. Then she senses something and turns. Superman lands just 20 feet away. A beat. She does everything she can to appear calm.
I got your message.
I'm glad you came.
You know, I didn't get a chance to thank you for saving my life.
No need to thank me.
He walks towards her. She tenses like a nervous child. Her nerves somehow make Superman, Clark of course, even calmer, more confident.
You saw Lex Luthor's press conference?
Yes.
I went to see him.
You did?
He's insane, you know that.
I do.
Then do me a favor and stay as far away from him as you can.
What? What's going on with everyone? I appreciate your concern. I'm perplexed by it. But I appreciate it. But Superman, I'm a reporter. This is what I do. I'm a big girl. I can take care of myself. And why are you doing this anyway? Singling me out at the stadium? Calling me tonight? I mean, why me?
Because he loves her.
You're a good writer.
You've read my writing?
I like what you wrote about flying.
You read that one. Well, listen, I only made the comparison flying to sex because my editor, total old school, a classic but a brilliant guy, was like, you can't write about flying, Lois. You don't fly. And so I had to speculate what it was like.
Then I'll show you. Want to fly?
Oh, about, yeah.
Lois is overcome. Superman holds out his hand. Nervously, she takes it. He turns to her so that her back is to him. He moves up against her, wraps his right arm around her waist. She can barely take being so close to him.
Just hold on.
Uh-huh.
He gently lifts her, 1 foot off the roof, 2 feet off the roof, and then out. Out off the roof, out over the street, and she suddenly panics. She blurts out a scream and wraps her legs right around his body, tripping madly. So Superman stumbles in the air, and she screams again, but he gets his bearings.
Trust me.
She nods, and he grips her safely. They move skyward. We follow Superman and Lois as they slowly traverse Metropolis buildings. At first, nervously, their moves are insecure and self-conscious. Rough and graceless, but after a few moments, Lois begins to trust Superman even more. And Superman begins to trust himself. He holds her, almost giving her the experience of flying on her own. Then, he flies upside down, holding her waist, but now flying right below her. She laughs at how remarkable this all is. Then, Superman sets her down just the tip of the antenna. Up on the top of the skyscraper. He then simply holds her hand. It's like she's a ballerina, a princess, dancing where no one has ever danced before. The Daily Planet, the moon, their backdrop. Superman sets Lois down gently onto the roof. They remain close, once again, an intimate charge between them.
That was nice.
Listen, Lois, maybe we could see each other.
But before
again
he can finish the question, Lois is aggressive as hell, kissing him hard, arms wrapped around his head. Shocked for a moment, Superman kisses her back, and suddenly she stops. She stops, horrified by her behavior. She hurries away, her back now facing him.
Oh my god, okay, that was absolutely unacceptable. Superman, I'm so sorry.
Superman smiles wide, his back still to Lois, who has a sudden flight reflex.
It's not a problem.
I have to go. I should wait. You probably have places to... lives to save. How do I get in touch with you?
I'll get in touch with you.
Okay. Good to know.
Their eyes meet, and Lois laughs hard. She laughs as she heads inside. Excuse me. We stay on Superman, beaming, the happiest he's ever been in his whole life. A montage of things happen. Magazine covers and newspapers from all over the world. Periods of time. The impact that Superman is having on the world. Daring rescues. Dirty faces. Survivors. Lois Lane. She's among them. And stuff. Personalities. Ragmags. Headlines like Superman's girlfriend. Who knows? Who cares? Metropolis Street. A newsstand. A beaming, in love Clark walks past with a wild confidence and bounce in his step. There's a guy selling Superman t-shirts.
Hey, want one?
Got one.
Clark rounds the corner and heads towards the office as Lois and Jimmy head out, passing him.
Lois, where are you going?
I couldn't sleep last night.
Hey, me either.
I was in the office. 2 a.m., there was another power breakdown. So I did a little research. Turns out power's been drained from the old Kelvin Observatory just outside Metropolis. And, guess who owns it? The Luther. I think this is going to be a big story. Your hair looks good.
Thanks.
At the Kelvin Observatory, we boom down as an SUV arrives outside one of the gates. From out here, the place looks abandoned. Lois and Jimmy get out of the vehicle. She moves towards the fence with Jimmy behind her.
Can I see that?
She takes Jimmy's camera, using it as a telescope, checking the building from out there.
Doesn't look like anyone's here, does it? So then, what would be using all that power?
Whoa, you're breaking all sorts of union rules there. Let the pro do it.
She takes pictures, she puts her wire clippers, she holds them between her teeth and begins climbing the fence.
So don't laugh, but I applied for school. On-air news reporting. They rejected me. Can you believe that? What the hell are you doing? Lois? Stop. Lois, no. Get back here. Lois, get back here!
Kelvin Observatory. Lois climbs up here alone. She moves to a bank of dirt-caked windows. She tries to peer inside, and what she finally sees makes her eyes go wide.
What the hell?
She's looking down upon the Kryptonian pod. Lois almost gasps upon seeing this clearly unearthly object. The Daily Planet. Clark sits across from Perry, gruff yet diplomatic.
I wanted to talk to you because you're not working hard enough. Your reporting's fine, but I'm not paying you the little I am to hang around on damn office all day. A good reporter needs to be active. You gotta get out there.
Kelvin Observatory. Jimmy stands almost pacing at the gate, waiting for Lois to return. She doesn't. He's losing his mind. Finally, he starts to climb the fence.
This makes me an idiot.
Yes, it does. Lois peers through the window, quietly surprised to see Lex Luthor appear in the room below. He checks the pod the way a chef would check a souffle. Food in general. We're tight on her as she watches him. Then finally, she stands up, revealing behind her
Mr. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
She turns, she sees him, and she screams. Jimmy scared. Jimmy, as scared as he is, turns a corner and stops, suddenly terrified to see 100 yards away, Lois, at gunpoint, being hustled into the observatory building by dun-dun-dun-dun. Jimmy's eyes go wide. He retreats, paralyzed, helpless, panicked, useless. He then turns and hauls ass, jumps into the SUV and grabs his cell phone. But the phone blinks, no service. Almost in tears, he struggles with the keys, fires up the engine, revs it, and skids away. Observatory. Luthor examines the pod. Dun, 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 enters behind him, gripping a frightened Lois.
Look who dropped by.
Lois turns and sees her, surprised, but then, as if he decides to enjoy this, he walks towards her, grabbing the latest issue of the Daily Planet from a desk.
I've been reading about you. You and Superman. Sounds like you're pretty close. Sounds very romantic.
I'm not afraid of you.
You are exquisite, aren't you? Underneath all that stubbornness and arrogance. There's no future in Superman, Miss Lane. Speaking of which, you came here for a story? Well, welcome to the biggest story of all time!
The cloakship lands in the field directly across from the observatory. A groan hiss is heard from the rouser. A hatch opens, and then someone appears. It's Ty Zor. The murderer of Superman's mother now stands on planet Earth. Lois can't breathe. Ty Zor looks around, taking the area in.
Hello there!
Incredibly, Luthor goes down on his knees, bowing to Ty Zor.
My name is Lex Luthor. On behalf of... well, myself, I'd like to thank you for coming. Are there any more of you?
Where is my soldier?
Oh, yes, you expected a fellow Kryptonian. Instead, you get me. Your colleague.
I'm sorry to report.
It's dead, sir.
It was a nasty landing. I was there. I saw it.
Kakador War Room. Katazor and a group of lieutenant and dignitaries watch Luther and Tizor as a three-dimensional holographic projection in the middle of the room.
Well, as you can see, my compatriot, I am as loyal to you as your fellow soldier. I will neither harm you nor waste your time. I know you want to kill Kal-El. Here they call him Superman. They idolize him. They consider him their savior.
Where is he?
I can give him to you.
As Jimmy drives the SUV like mad, checking the cell phone as he drives, finally the thing blinks from no service to signal, and he slams the brakes and dials. At the Daily Planet, Perry continues with Clark.
What is laziness won't do. When I started out, I did everything I could to impress my boss. I kissed him on the... I kissed his ass. Literally, now.
Ring.
Hello? This is White.
It's SUV on Jimmy losing his mind.
Mr. White, it's Jimmy Olsen, the photographer. Smallish guy. I've worked a lot with Lois Lane.
I know who you are. What is it?
Sitting across from Perry, Clark uses his super hearing to hear the conversation.
Lois Lane broke into the Kal-El observatory and got grabbed by a guy with a gun. I wanted to call you first.
Damn it, get back to the office! Clark, go to the police!
But Perry stops short when he sees that Clark is gone.
Where's Clark? Clark!
You'll find out eventually.
All right, Clark quickly enters. He checks. There's no one here. He sprints towards the open window at the end of the hall. In one shot, he rips off his clothes, transforms into Superman, and takes off and sails through the window, flying off into a blur. Or Oasis, whichever band you prefer. Thomas continues to watch as Luther explains.
For someone like you, with your considerable abilities, finding Kal-El should be simple. Go to one of our cities. Metropolis is just a jump and a skip for you. Just cause some damage. Do some bad things. I guarantee you he'll show up. And when he does, once you've done your thing, I was hoping you might receive a little quid pro quo. Return the favor and help me. With a little facelift, I want to give this planet.
Tizor looks at Luther, actually amused by him. You almost see the why not humor in him cross his face.
Certainly. It would be a pleasure to repay you.
It was a calculated risk calling you. I knew it would pay off.
Suddenly, a distant whistle is heard. Tizor and Luther turn as Superman approaches in the sky. We fly with Superman as he sees the landed browser. His brain twists. What the hell is this, he says. Fear plays on his face. This is a far deeper problem than he expected to find. Still, quickly and powerfully, he lands, forming a perfect triangle with Tizor and Luther, each 50 feet away from one of the others. Lois is relieved at the sight of Superman, who, dismayed and aghast, looks from the browser to Tizor.
Who are you?
Superman, do your thing.
You look just like her, Kal-El. Your mother. She cried, you know. Helpless as she was. In that moment, just before I ended her life.
Superman begins to understand the horror that is Tizor.
That was good.
Let's see if you cry like her too, Superman.
Tizor pulls out a blast staff and fires. The energy blast hits Superman hard. Lois screams as Superman is slammed back, landing hard and dazed. Tizor leaps over to him and smiles, looking down on him.
Cry for me.
In the Kandor War Room, everyone watches as Tizor attacks Superman. Katazor, however, remains intense. As Superman takes the blasts, like a human getting slammed by horrible sudden jolts of electricity. Tizor then holsters the blast out and grabs Superman.
I said I want you to see you cry.
Superman struggles to recover. Tizor punches Superman super hard. Slam! Again. And just before the third, Superman fights back. He power elbows Tizor in the head. Tizor goes down fast. Superman, in a fog, moves to Tizor, grabs him and punches him. One, yes! Two, yes! And then on the third, Tizor blocks it. and Superman. He slams Superman in the stomach. Superman is thrown back. Tyzor flies at him, tackling him.
At the Kelvin Observatory,
Superman and Tyzor burst through the wall and into the observatory main area, slamming into a bank of metal shelves which crash to the floor, revealing a large chunks of green rock. Suddenly, Superman and Tyzor, both about 15 feet away from the rock pieces, struggle, both instantly depleted of energy, in pain and laboring. Luther races in, and to his shock, finds the two super-strength enemies in agony. Luther's face contorts, and we see Luther put it all together. Their weakness, the green rock. Before, Luther has a revelation. When Superman sees Lois held by Dun-Dun-Dun-Dun at gunpoint, he suddenly toils to move toward her, something that Luther watches as well. Sorry, I'm still reading. I got a break. At the same moment, Tyzor takes a deep breath, and in an angry burst, blows the kryptonite across to the other side of the room, far enough away for him, and Superman... Dun backs away as Superman strives to get to his feet, but just as he does, Tyzor tackles Superman. Superman goes down hard and Tyzor attacks. These are furious, brutal, unforgiving blows that are heartbreaking to behold.
It's like Kryptonian Kung Fu.
Essentially.
No! Stop!
But Tyzor keeps pounding away at Superman like a promising prize fighter, overwhelmed by more experienced opponents. It's quickly rendered powerless. Superman is bloody and unconscious. Tyzor grabs Superman. He lifts off with his limp body. Lois is horrified.
Throw her in the tank!
Tyzor carries Superman's body, ragdoll figure, parading him victorious over the busy streets. He suddenly, angrily hurls Superman into the street. He hits the asphalt like a meteor.
Boom!
Pedestrians scream and scatter as Tyzor lands near Superman.
Do you idolize him now?
Superman struggles against the unconsciousness as Tyzor clutches him again and hurls him across the boulevard. Superman drops like a boulder, crushing a parked car.
The parked car.
Tyzor suddenly lands, grabs Superman again, and throws him three blocks away into a construction crane, which topples. Superman and the crane crash violently into the street as people run screaming terrorized. What comes next is horrific. Tyzor grabs the end of the crane, he lifts it and uses it like a bat, slamming it down upon Superman's limp body. At the observatory, Lois Lane, having just been thrown by Mr. Dun-Dun-Dun into the large empty glass water tank, there's a metal mesh at the top. She hurries back for the thick metal door, which closes hard, Mr. Dunn turning the wheel hand, locking her inside.
You little coward freak!
Luther then turns an industrial valve. Suddenly, water begins rushing into the tank.
I'm sorry, what was that? I couldn't hear all the sound of all this rushing water.
Help!
Metropolis. Lying in the street, Superman regains consciousness. Turns. Tyzor is about to slam him again with the crane. And as the crane comes down, Superman gathers his strength and pushes himself away into the sky, just as the crane slams down onto the street. Tyzor leaps after Superman. A newscast is being broadcast on all the TVs. Tyzor tackles Superman in the air, whips him around and throws him back to Earth. After a moment, the only sounds are the distant screams and sirens. Then from the rubble, Superman slowly stands. Faces off with Tyzor, who stands a block away. Superman, exhausted like me. Tyzor, strong, confident, cocky.
I'm disappointed. I expected a better fight.
Here we are, back where we started the film, but now we not only hear the voice, we see it with our eyes and ears. The observatory, the tank is now almost filled with water. Lois desperately swims, trying to reach the top, sucking the air through a metal mesh. Only 2 inches, that's an accurate measure of oxygen level left. Luther turns to Dunn.
Get the chopper ready.
Superman!
But the water silences her. Superman standing there. And they face off. He hears Lois and suddenly bounds into the sky. Tyzor takes off after him. The scrapyard. Superman dives into the mountain of metal, disappearing inside of it. Tizor arrives, lands, looks for Superman, uses his X-ray vision, but it's metal and he can't see through. A deep breath and Tizor blows all the scrap metal away, finds the hole burrowed deep into the earth.
Look at this. Jor-El's son. A coward!
A nowhere convenience store, a pack of kids, and suddenly Superman bursts through the pavement, skybound like a comet, the kids scream. In the observatory, Superman lands mightily, dun-dun-dun-dun, in the helicopter, watches as Superman bullets into the building entrance. The main chamber door gets ripped off as Superman enters, and what he sees takes his breath away. Lying at the bottom of the giant water-filled testing tank is Lois, beside a giant chunk of glowing green kryptonite.
No!
Superman crashes to his knees. His skin blisters now. Superman opens his eyes, rolled back in bloodshot. He screams, and so does Lois in the water. For Superman to stay away from him, she's drowning. Then, behind Superman, Luther appears, holding a chunk of green rock. There's no escape for Superman. Luther walks past Superman with a cocky confidence that makes us hate him only more. What a jerk.
Let's talk about your attitude. I tried to include you, Cal, but you threatened me. So this is what you get. I'm embarrassed that I didn't figure it out sooner. The kryptonite, the rock, the fuel from the ship. That's what killed the soldier they sent to find you. Do you like the name? Kryptonite?
That's mine. Came up with that.
Instead of jerk. Superman, skin blisters now, evidence of the devastating effects of kryptonite. Lois cries underwater, knowing that his attempt to save her will mean his life. Lois furiously shakes her head, last oxygen bubbling from her mouth. Superman pulls his arm back and strikes the glass, and then again, but the blows are pointless. He leans against the glass, crying to himself, his life force depleting, and their eyes meet. Two souls on the verge of death. A moment so heartbreaking we should be in tears. So let's cry, everybody. Lois's eyes close. She seems to die right before his. Just then, with every ounce of strength he's got left, Superman pulls his arm back and with a surprising power slams it into the glass. It shatters, the water and the rock, and Lois rush out of the tank into the room, thrusting Superman back. Lois lies there motionless. Luther, pleased, moves to Superman, who is by now moments from death. Luther holds a football-sized chunk of kryptonite and kneels over him, places the rock on Superman's chest. Superman is breathing erratically and fainting and panting.
Painful, isn't it? Being so close to something so powerful.
I mean me, of course! Not the kryptonite!
In that instant, Superman exhales, long and final. His head goes limp. He's dead. Jor-El's cell. Jor-El suddenly awakens. Alone here, his face ravaged by age and abuse. No sound has awoken him, no touch or prodding, but rather a sense, an emotional, innate understanding which transcends time and distance. In this moment, Jor-El simply knows that his son is dead. His eyes go wide. Tears flood his eyes, not out of sorrow, but rather disbelief that the moment he'd been waiting for so many years has come. Luther, kneeling close to Superman, stands.
One down! One to go.
He turns, startled as we are, to see that facing him is a furious, confident, and vengeful Lois Lane. Before he can even react, Lois attacks him with 8 wild, ferocious blows that send Luther flying back. Seemingly instant, he's unconscious.
Whoosh.
And then whoosh, and a thud, and Lois looks up. Tizor has landed on the observatory dome, peering down upon them through the hole. And what he sees pleases him.
His heart has stopped. I can see it.
Kando War Room. Cheers of victory. Everyone watching a holographic Tizor. Lois and dead Kal-El. But Kal-Zor doesn't cheer. He simply turns to a lieutenant.
My son, finish your job. I'll share the news with your uncle.
In Jor-El's cell, Jor-El gets to his knees, closes his eyes, and begins a deep meditative prayer. The observatory Tizor flies from the observatory dome down to the rouser, and he goes inside. He secures himself in the cockpit, working the controls masterfully. The rouser's engines come to life and prep to lift off. At the Kandor Palace, Kalazor and his entourage turn a corner. Relishing the anticipation of telling his brother about the death of Kal-El, Jor-El, in deep prayer, holds his arms out, lets his head fall back, and his eyes open. They're white. The observatory is still soaking wet. Lois hurls the kryptonite pieces far away from Superman, crying as she does it. She kneels beside him.
Please, Superman, please. Wake up. Wake up. We need you. You can't leave. You can't.
The Daily Planet. Mayhem in here as workers hurry out in panic, but Jimmy is like a salmon, just entering and moving upstream.
Where's everyone going? Hey! We're professionals. We don't just abandon our posts. What the hell are you all doing?
The Rouser arrives in the city. Madness as people flee. The Rouser control station, Tizor operates the controls, announcing to the city.
Your Superman has been killed.
The Rouser blasts into the earth, Tizor's voice booming.
This is the price you will pay for shattering him. The consequence of protecting him. This is the consequence. Witness the end of your planet.
While everyone flees, one person doesn't. An emotional Jimmy Olsen. He spots a van two blocks away. Inspiration hits him and he runs to it. Intense and desperate, he grabs a camera and moves back to the street. He grabs a microphone and begins reporting, yelling, practically piddling his pantyhose.
Hi, my name's Jimmy Olsen and I'm reporting live from Metropolis. Superman, ladies and gentlemen, Superman is dead. That thing behind me, you can see this?
Yep.
It's blasting a hole into the ground and there's a voice saying that they're about to destroy our planet.
Kilimanjaro in the background. This is being seen from countries all over the world. Continued.
This is true. If Superman is dead, ladies and gentlemen, this might be the end for all of us.
Lois cries over Superman. She leans closer to Superman's face to give him a final goodbye kiss. Kal-Zor arrives as Jor-El sails to see Superman's father on his knees, arms outstretched. He screams for his guards to stop him as the Rouser finishes planting a spike bomb, which seals itself off the surface. Lois's lips are about to touch Superman. Total darkness. The only sound is a womb-like rush. Superman is in heaven. Ooh, where is this? Superman walks towards us, his suit restored to pristine condition, his skin and hair unscathed by battle or kryptonite. He walks somehow drawn forward, his eyes searching. Finally, he sees something that stuns him to motionless silence. Jor-El. Imperious, but perhaps most importantly, he's in awe of the beauty and majesty of seeing his own son.
Oh.
But father. I see that.
You know who I am.
You're Scottish? You're my father.
Kal-El, no words can make up for what we've lost. I've been waiting for this for years.
It was you who sent you away.
Yes. And now, my son, you must go back.
Go back? Where? How can I?
Because it was written thousands of generations ago. To those who believe the prophecy speaks of Krypton. A war waged by and against a single family. It tells of two princes and the battle they will fight. We know that of the two, only one prince will return.
A prince? I'm no prince.
Yes, yeah.
No, I live on Earth.
In a home which I selected, I chose the kids because they were decent, fortunate. I could see they would raise you well and keep the key safe.
This key? Those five pieces?
The symbols of Mena. Each piece represents faith, wisdom, courage, and sacrifice. There is a priest, Ken Graham. He will explain the key, help you with the knowledge you need.
This prophecy, what happens when the prince returns?
The lost pages have never been found. But you will understand. You will know the right thing to do. My son, I can give you life now. I can give you all I've seen, all I know. But what you do with that knowledge, the outcome, will be decided by you. Your mother and I were afraid as well. The morning we sent you away, please, 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 believe in yourself as much as I do.
Jor-El embraces his son, and as Superman does this, he does his father as well. Superman inhales, confused, and Jor-El exhales, spent. Back in the cell where we left Jor-El, on his knees he collapses, hits the floor hard.
Oh.
Dead. Just as Katazor's guards unlock the cell door and burst in, they grab his lifeless brother, knowing that he's been bested. As in the observatory, Lois's lips finally touch Superman. In that instant, he gasps and Lois screams, horrified, falling back and scampering on the floor, scared to death.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, I keep kissing you, I thought you were dead.
He stands, stopping and helping him up.
Are you alright?
How are you?
A distant, horrible thunder. He turns to the sound, and then back to Lois.
Hold on tight.
He grabs Lois and wraps her in his cape, and they blast through the observatory roof. Then the thing happens over the next, like, 5 pages, and we want to get you guys home safe. And, like, they have a fight with this kind of metal ball thing, and then we skip to page 101. It's like a metal ball spike thing, and it's really long, and they're, like, chasing each other. It's like, brings the
thing. Kryptonian Kung Fu.
Kryptonian Kung Fu. So, look, finally, just as Superman pulls Tizor high enough above the city for no structural damage to occur, the spike bomb detonates, the earth sky filled with impossibly bright light. That's basically what happens after like 20 minutes of stuff. The deadly planet. Lois and Jimmy shield their eyes from the explosion. Shell-shocked, Tizor falls to the earth and Superman flies down and grabs him and flies back to Metropolis. Luthor and Dunn arrive over the city, looking down and spotting Superman. In the distance, he lands atop what looks like a 60-story government building.
No! He can't lose! Take us down!
Superman drops Tizor onto the roof beside an impressive skylight.
Ending your life won't bring back the people you've murdered. What I'm offering you now, you haven't earned. Mercy.
Katazor moves closer, watching Jor-El's son standing above his own wounded son.
You're asking me to turn against my father?
Superman waits for a response. Tizor knows that saying no will mean his death. A tense beat.
Yes. Yes, I will go with you. I will work at your side.
Tedious little shit.
Exactly like that.
Yes.
As Tizor reaches out for Superman's help with one hand, but with the other, he secretly pulls a Kryptonian blade from a boot holster. Superman moves closer to take Tizor's hand, and their hands touch. Superman helps up Tizor, who lunges at Superman with his blade. But Superman, anticipating this, purposely falls to his back, rolling, therefore, flipping Tizor, who's thrown back into the skylight. Rash indeed. Glass explodes. Shards raining down on the huge space as Tizor drops through the ceiling, falling upon the enormous razor-sharp stalagmite sample of kryptonite. The giant piece of phosphorus green rock impales him, landing as he did on his back. Tizor screams in agony. His skin whispering, only now do we pull back to realize that this is the Metropolitan... Remember the museum where, like, talking and all that? That's the place. There, that's where it is. Everyone watches, stunned. Katazor is in shock. Luthor runs into the hall, goes to the impaled dying Tizor, grabs him.
Ah, you idiot! I gave him to you! We had an agreement! All you had to do was...
Tizor grips Luthor's neck hard, and you think for a moment that he's going to crush Luthor and kill him as he himself dies. But instead, something else happens. Another transference. Something that overwhelms Luthor. When Tizor finally dies, Luthor falls back, shaking, weak, covering. Metropolis. As police return to the city in vans and choppers, Superman lands as Lois Lane runs to him.
Superman!
I'm... Lois, this is hard to explain.
What's the headline?
They need me. Back home.
Back home?
The planet I'm from.
planet?
Except, I don't know how I would help. I only know that they need me.
Then you know you have to go.
I don't know.
Of course you do. You know exactly what you have to do. You have to help.
He looks into her eyes. God, she's beautiful. And of course she's right.
I will see you again. I never got to thank you.
For what?
For everything.
They're so close, about to kiss, but then...
Don't kiss me. Just don't, please. I mean, if you were thinking about it, it's just easier to just go.
He nods. One final look.
So maybe we'll see each other again?
Superman grabs her and kisses her! Finally, when it's over, Superman takes a few steps back and takes off into the sky. Lois Lane watches Superman speed away into the clouds. Kent Farm, the most beautiful sight, the farm we first saw 30 years ago, silhouetted against the pink sky. Standing alone in the field of wheat is Superman. He looks out at the land where he was raised, eyes searching for an answer on the horizon. Then he looks to his palm, holds the 5 coin pieces, arranges them in the form of an S. The dry earth begins to rise in a mound. What in the world is this? Nothing from this world. As the wheat and dirt falls to one side, a large Kryptonian spacecraft is revealed. Something Jor-El left for his son years ago. It lifts, gently, until it hovers, just at ground level. A portal opens, and Superman just stares at the craft, at once determined and afraid. Then he turns. Standing near the house, having just witnessed it also, is Martha Kent. Superman moves to her. Mother and son share a look. They embrace, trying to sound strong, but her voice cracking, she speaks.
I love you, sweetheart.
And the look Superman gives her, the look of a man who knows courage, wisdom, faith, love, and sacrifice. Moments later, she watches as a brilliant light illuminates the farm, the spacecraft's thrusters showering the place in white light. The craft lifts off, carrying Superman into the heavens, beginning the journey of his lifetime. Martha Kent watches as the light lifts into the sky, her heart full, proud of her son. Guess what? It's the end!
And there you have it, J.J. Abrams' Superman flyby. I know that we had a hop the fight scene at the end, it was a timing thing on the day, but it really was a lot of very explicit action described by the narrator. So basically, Tizor sits in his giant Rouser, destroying the city and trying to destroy Superman. Superman fights the Rouser, then Tizor and Superman fight, which involves a lot of tossing cars, and then Tizor tries to detonate a spike bomb, and that's when we came back in. So that's what it was. And overall, I have to say, this is probably my favorite cinematic version of Superman. I know it wasn't made, but reading the script, it was really strong. It hits a lot of the classic elements that make up a great Superman story, like Smallville, flying Lois Lane around, it does even an airplane rescue, but it all seems warm, fresh, and even zippy. Superman can be a tough character to write, but I think JJ did a really solid job on it. One thing I would have liked to see more, though, is Tizor. He seemed like a really interesting villain, yet they gave most of the villain time to his father, Kat-Azor, and Lex Luthor. But I suppose they had to do that with the sequels that they were planning, so I'm not really sure where they were going with it, but I think they should have actually given a little more attention to Tizor. Even in the middle, just to kind of reinforce that he is Superman's equal or even superior. I want to give a big thank you to our amazing cast, the incredible audience we had, and of course Dublin Comic Con for having us put on the show. That's it for this week. Don't forget to subscribe and catch next week's episode where we come up with a brand new film idea off the top of our heads, and if you like it, it's yours. On behalf of Stevie Ryan, my name is Chris Brennan, and I'll see you next time.